I'm Zach Ziegler, and you're listening to Oregon Rainmakers from KLCC. On this edition, I talk with Christina Norton and Jeff Reynolds, the owners of Bicycle Way of Life in Eugene. In Oregon, May often brings the type of weather that makes people want to get outside. Lush vegetation, blooming flowers, and a big increase of blue skies. For many, a great way to spend a good amount of time soaking up the sun and sights is from the seat of a bicycle. May is National Bike Month, so plenty of people have manually powered means of travel on their minds. And with that in mind, I recently stopped by Bicycle Way of Life's location off of Charnelton Street in Eugene. That's where I found Christina Norton and Jeff Reynolds, two longtime employees of the company who are now also its owners. They start our conversation by telling me how they made the leap into owning the company. Christina starts us off.
A little over a year ago, the former owners were getting ready to retire, and Jeff and I had each been working here for at least a decade, and were managers of each respective shop, and they offered to sell it to us.
I started here about 11 years ago and worked with Matt and Virginia, who were the previous owners. And I worked solely at the downtown location and, got to know Matt and Virginia really well. And they had kind of hinted at it a little bit on and off that they were interested in selling it to specifically Chris and I.
So what's the process been like going from, longtime employee to new owner? What was the things that you expected, and what were quote someone from a bygone political era, the unknown unknowns that you ran into?
Well, it was a lot of the same and more. So we each kind of maintained a lot of our management level, just store management roles, while trying to bring in other employees to kind of fill those. But then we also have the inventory management and the other nitty gritty of actually running a business, figuring out our budgets, our payrolls, figuring out how we can provide things like benefits for our employees, and as well as kind of bring the whole business and company into something a little more current, a little more up to date, put our own kind of flavor on it.
Yeah. I mean, on the benefits aspect, when you are working at a place and you see how much money, changes hands, you start to think about why don't we have these benefits? And then when you become in the role, you're like, oh, it's really difficult to get that type of stuff. And, you don't really, in the management role, you don't really think of every single bill until you are in the ownership role. And it's, for every, dollar that we make, that dollar is being spent on, payroll and rent and keeping the lights on. And so, in a really high volume, fast paced bike shop, there's not a lot of extra money. But we got together and figured out how we could provide for our full time staff this year health benefits. And it's a struggle, but it is really cool.
It was a goal of both of ours. That's something we really wanted to be able to do as business owners, provide that kind of thing for our employees.
Both, like Chris said, we both managed the stores. Chris had much more solo management on her own at her store for years, where I worked alongside the owners at this store pretty much daily. And so when they stepped away, I definitely had to fill their shoes a bit more. And then Chris, taking on an additional store as well. So it's totally different.
That was one thing that kind of caught me off guard when I looked on the map. You have two locations, but they're definitely a short bike ride from each other. Usually you think of something like that, be like, oh, one in Eugene, one in Springfield, one in South, one in North. How does having the two shops, a handful of miles apart, end up working for you?
I think it works out really well, and that's because you've visited both shops. They each have their own character. Alder Street is a little bit more neighborhood bike shop. We try and focus on family, kids' bikes, cargo bikes, commuter bikes. We're really close to the university, so a lot of student commuters and that sort of thing. Whereas here at our downtown location, with such a bigger footprint, they can really focus on some of the higher end, nicer road bikes and gravel bikes and mountain bikes, and have a lot more variety of things to offer on the floor.
Yeah, and I think too, you know, a lot of our customers, they like it because we are so close to each other. So if they come here and we don't have what they need, they can run down to Alder and grab it. Or if, you know, one shop is too busy to do a repair that day, you know, they might be able to run down to the other shop, which is nice in a, you know, city like this. We have so many shops, and then, you know, people can just come to us, which is great for our customers who really just want to come to us. But yeah, like Chris said, you know, they are two very different shops. And so I think we do have customers who only shop at Alder, and we may have customers who only shop downtown.
I can imagine being that close can come in handy. I mean, as I was, you know, standing out there, I heard you say, oh man, we've got that part, but it's at Alder. And you just like make a couple calls and it's like, oh, yep, it's on its way over. It's yes. Close enough that you can just pass things back and forth.
Yeah, and our employees are happily, you know, picking things up for us on their way into work from one of the stores and taking it to the other. We run transfers a couple times a week. Chris works currently at both stores, so it is kind of nice. And, you know, back before my time, and Chris can speak much better to this, there were even more stores, and they were all very close together, including two stores with what? Two blocks away from each other.
So when I started working for Bicycle Way of Life, it was 2007. I was a freshman in college. We had four locations: Alder Street, two downtown, one on 5th and Olive, one on just across the street on 6th and Charlton. We combined those two stores into this location, and then one out west 11th. So between those four locations, we were moving a lot of product around, and we were able to reach a lot of different parts of Eugene, and a lot of different parts of the cycling community.
How has the bike industry been going? I can see reasons people would probably be coming in right now with, you know, high gas prices. I can see reasons why people might be a little hesitant, because I'm sure many of the parts are made overseas, and now you've got added tariff costs. I mean, how are things doing?
It's crazy. Chris started in 2007. I started in 2005, 2006. And things have changed a lot. Right now we hear everything from a lot of shops doing really, really well to shops closing, and the cost of everything, you know, everything in the world has gone up, but especially bikes. We do see the tariffs on bikes and bike parts. But I think Eugene is such a bike-centric place that we really haven't seen a downtick in shoppers. We're still selling new bikes. We're doing a ton of repairs. And I think we'll see more repairs due to gas prices. We even had a family just replace their car with three bikes. The mom was done driving, so she's buying an electric trike, cargo trike. And then she got her kid a bike and her husband a bike, and they're going car-free. And she, you know, stated that she had been thinking about it, kind of playing around with it for a while, and finally made the move just this past month. The bike industry as a whole, I think, is okay. But the bike industry in Eugene is great.
Yeah. Exactly what Jeff said. Working in the industry as long as Jeff and I have, you see how things like gas prices over the years do influence. And yeah, when it gets more expensive, we certainly see more people coming in and considering bike commuting. And in terms of tariffs and everything else, it's affected everything, not just the bike industry. But for us, it seems to be at an increment that we can still work with it. It hasn't become prohibitive yet.
Yeah, and we're seeing and picking up more U.S.-made brands as well. We picked up Cat Trike this year, which is built in Florida. Their frames are welded and manufactured over there. We've always been working with Spur Cycle out of Bend, and we just started picking up Worksman Trikes, which are made in New York. So we are definitely seeing, and Worksman is a very, very old company. Cat Trike is an older company. Spur Cycle's probably within the last 15, 20 years. And then Wolftooth out of the Midwest. So those are all U.S. brands, and their pricing is higher. But in the world that we're living in right now, it is competitive.
We're going to take a break. I'm Zach Ziegler, and you're listening to Oregon Rainmakers from KLCC.
I'm Barbara Dellenbach, host of KLCC's Oregon Grapevine. Robert Arellano teaches emerging media at Southern Oregon University.
I am being more inspired than ever by a fire not to let what the world is kind of keeping me a little discouraged about also keep me from preserving and perpetuating what's exciting and essential about storytelling among humans.
Digital, visual, and experiential storytelling on the latest Oregon Grapevine at klcc.org.
We're back. I'm Zach Ziegler, and this is Oregon Rainmakers from KLCC. My conversation with Bicycle Way of Life's Christina Norton and Jeff Reynolds continues.
So you mentioned earlier that, you know, one of the bikes that family who was getting rid of their cars bought was an e-trike. The e-bikes seem to be becoming more and more of a thing. You know, I can remember one time I was out on a training ride. I was 50 miles in. I'm struggling, going against the wind. And here comes this, septuagenarian grandma just sailing past me on her e-bike. And I had to check my ego for a moment. I wonder if you're getting a wider amount of people because they're thinking, oh, that sounds like something I can do, that extra pedal assist that comes in those bikes. Is it widening out your customer base?
Absolutely.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Either from, you know, someone who's been on a bike forever, but as they age, just want a little extra help so they can keep, you know, getting an extra lap in while mountain biking or be out on a longer ride or keep up with friends on climbs. But then you also get people who maybe were a little intimidated to get into bike commuting because it's a bit of a trek for them. So it kind of gives them an option. Plus, just even in the last 5 years, the e-bikes that are available have just gotten so much nicer, so much easier to use, so much easier to work on, more reliable. So now we can offer a variety of really nice products we can stand behind in the e-bike market.
Yeah, and I think too, you know, not just on the e-bike, but partially is we do adaptive and cargo bikes. And so we do have people who thought maybe they couldn't ride or couldn't ride anymore because of balance or, you know, any other medical or non-medical issue. We have recumbent tricycles. We have, and some of those are electric. So we do have, I had a woman in here yesterday who donated her bike to Shift 6 months ago, and she was like, I think I'm done cycling. She came in and test rode a recumbent trike yesterday, and she's like, I didn't think I'd be able to get on a bike again, and now we're talking electric. So it definitely opens up a lot more. It definitely, like Chris said, it, you know, kind of prolongs the lifestyle if it's electric or adaptive. But then it also, yeah, it does open it up to more people. And then we also have high-end stuff like the roadie who can't quite keep up with the group ride anymore. We have a 26-pound electric road bike now. So it is going to feel like a regular bike when the motor's not on, and then you get that extra push. So it's, I mean, and everything in between. It's really cool.
I think I've had conventional bikes that weigh more than 26 pounds.
It's impressive. It is really impressive.
It's remarkable.
Yeah. I mean, you know, those road bikes, I always joke, you know, I think my road bike weighs about half of what my wife's mountain bike weighs. But man, like that's pretty impressive. And I can see how people would be like, oh, yeah, no, I can keep going on this now.
Yeah. Even our, I mean, heavier high end road bikes that are still in the 30 plus pounds. I've had, you know, 67-year-old guys that are like, I rode it without the battery yesterday or without the motor on, and it felt fine. And then at the end of the ride, when I needed to get home, I could just turn the motor on, and it extends the range, you know. It's almost limitless if you have a lightweight bike that has a motor.
You have both the sales and the repairs here. I'm curious, have you noticed any trends? Are people starting to think more about, okay, I'm just going to get this fixed rather than, oh, it's time for a new toy. Like, it has that side of the business increased as maybe inflation has gone on and people's, you know, wallets are getting a little tighter?
We've always had a real robust service business, But when times do get a little tougher, you do see a lot more people who are a little bit more keen to just repair and keep what they have on the road. And we're absolutely happy to help with that. Both Jeff and I started as mechanics, so definitely have a like a soft spot in our heart for just working on it and getting it working for you. You're always going to have the folks that want something new where the bike is just to the point where the repair is going to, you know, it, think of a car, it's pretty much totaled. You know, the repair is going to cost more than what the bike's really worth. And then that's when we might have a conversation about a new or used bike. But if someone wants it repaired, we're happy to do the work.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we definitely have an uptick in service this year, early in the year. And I think part of that is weather, but I do think that the other part is, you know, price consciousness and just getting their old bikes back on the road. But like Chris said, a lot of people, I mean, I think Eugene as a whole, people don't want to throw away something that is repairable. Even if it does cost more to repair than it would to buy a new bike, there are a lot of people out there that are really conscious about, you know, their footprint and keeping that on the road. And we have a lot of people who are, I mean, for lack of a better word, extremely stubborn about it. And that's okay. We'll happily, you know, we will tell you it's going to cost more than a new bike, but we will fix it.
If I've got an old contractor buddy whose favorite saying is, oh yeah, I'll spend your money however you want me to. So last topic, I won't promise last question for you, because you might spur a follow-up, but what, you know, you talked about kind of learning that the business side of, the taxes, the getting your employees benefits and that, but what was it on the bicycle side of the operation that when you took over as owners, you're like, oh, wow, I didn't think about that. What was that lesson that you learned when you went from, you know, manager to owner?
So coming kind of like what you said, I'll spend your money however you want me to. Prior to being the owner, I did all of the ordering for parts and accessories at Alder Street, and I just kind of tried to keep it within a budget, but got whatever I kind of thought looked good or customers were asking for. At this point, though, I'm a lot more conscious with what I'm spending our money on and what I'm bringing into the store. I try and make sure to bring in things that are quality, affordable, that there's an interest in, and honestly that I can like feel good selling to people. I don't want to carry something that's just going to break in 2 months, you know?
Yeah, I do the majority of bicycle ordering, and so seeing that amount of money and... Yeah, I mean, like Chris said, like we were doing orders with other people's money, and we did a good job at it, obviously, because they allowed us to do it and then sold us the business knowing that we could continue doing it. But when you actually sit down and you watch those bills, it is a lot of money. And that is a big learning curve, is actually seeing how much of your money is changing hands to bring bicycles in the store. And that includes shipping. And so we don't want to have to pass the shipping on to our consumer, because of course they could buy it online and they could pay shipping to get it to their house, but they come here for a reason. And so if we're saying, yeah, it's that plus shipping, you know, that is just one more reason that they might not want to come into a brick and mortar. And so, you know, we sometimes have to spend a little bit more money to get those shipping costs down by bringing in a couple extra bikes and making minimum orders. And that in itself, you look at and you're like, wow, shipping is $150 or it's free if we spend another $500. Right. Where is it worth it?
Lord knows how many times in my life I have ordered two or three more products to reach that free shipping threshold.
Yeah, yeah. And when you're looking at, you know, bikes that cost, you know, $500 to $1,000, and you have to add five more to your order to meet shipping, you have to figure out, is it worth it? Is it worth it on your bottom dollar per week? And that's something that, you know, we knew was happening, but when it is your money, you look at it a lot differently. And you do have to think about, do we want to bring in five extra bikes? It's easy in May, June, and July, but if it's November, December, you know, do we want to sit on those for a few months, or do we just want to eat that shipping cost? cost.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both for inviting me in and chatting with me.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Thanks for the opportunity to chat.
That was Christina Norton and Jeff Reynolds, the owners of Bicycle Way of Life in Eugene. This has been Oregon Rainmakers from KLCC. I'm Zach Ziegler. Thanks for listening.